This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Hey, pet pals. Welcome to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Now, we are so doggone lucky. That is because our special guest today is one of the top veterinarians in the country and a great author to boot. She's on a mission to help people of all ages, even kids, learn how they, in their own ways, can be possum pet advocates. She's here also to talk about her latest must-get book. It is called A Dog Named 647. I got you curious as a cat right now, don't I? So at this time, please give pause and applause to Dr. Nancy Kay. Welcome, Dr. Nancy.
Thank you, Arden. I'm so happy to be here.
You know, we've been in the pet world, both of us, a few decades or two or three, and
this is
our first time that we got to at least meet via Zoom. But I've always admired who you are and what you do. And humbly, she's not going to say this, guys, but there's some big awards in the veterinary field that veterinarians may be honored with. And one is the Leo Bustead Companion Animal Veterinarian of the Year. And this one's a big one, the Hills Annual Animal Welfare and Humane Ethics Award. So medicine and ethics, not a bad double win. Dr. Nancy.
Thank you.
That's all you're going to say. I mean, that's a big deal. What's your thoughts? I mean, you know, when they have the Emmys and the Oscars, they can never get the celebrities off stage.
I think it speaks to the fact that I love what I do. I have always loved what I do. And of course, I love animals. I believe that I emerged from the womb loving animals. And what I found after practicing for a few years is what I super love was helping give people peace of mind in terms of taking care of their pets.
I like that.
I love helping people in that way. So,
well, you're doing it, and you're doing it very well. Everyone, we are speaking with Dr. Nancy Kay. We're going to dive into her new book you've got to get. It's called A Dog Named 647. We're going to let you know a little bit about what that all means. But you all know the drill. We got to take a quick break, so sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our special guest is a great gal. Her name is Dr. Nancy Kay. She is a veterinarian. Yeah, put that DVM at the end of her name. But she also has written not one, not two, but three books, maybe even more. And her, I guess your heart beats dog, cat, and other critters, right?
Yes, for sure. And I'm pretty passionate about horses, too.
Oh, okay. All right. So she is a naysayer in a good way. Oh, that's bad. What I love and why I'm so glad you're on our show today, we could talk for hours about all the things that you've done, but we need to reach what's going on. And that is, you are here to help us shine a light on puppy mills. I don't like that, puppy mills. And you did it in a very creative way. And the book, A Dog Named 647, is actually a novel. And I'm going to have her fill in the blanks. But you brought out your inner preteen in this. I mean, I'm reading the dialogue between the main characters, Mia and Cassie. And I'm like, Dr. Nancy, did you just do a Freaky Friday with fur?
That's funny. That's super funny. My first exposure to puppy mills was as a practicing veterinarian. And I would see from time to time puppies that were recently purchased and brought in horribly sick with an infectious disease or a congenital disease, which means a birth defect. And the puppy just came into the people's home.
Yeah.
They picked it up at the airport, or they were met with the puppy halfway to where the kennel is. And oftentimes what these puppies have isn't fixable, or if it is fixable, it's going to be at great expense. And the people are devastated. And it turns out that they retrospectively figured out that they purchased their puppy from a puppy mill, which is a large scale commercial breeding facility. I would call it factory farming of puppies, because what it really is profit is prioritized over the well-being, physical and psychological well-being of the dogs.
You gave some numbers about how many puppies are sold every year and about how many puppy mills are there in the country.
There's estimated to be, and it's an estimate because a lot of puppy mills are not licensed in the United States through the USDA. So it's estimated that there are 10,000 puppy mills scattered across the United States. Arden, can you guess which state has the most dense population of puppy mills?
Well, I read your book, so I know. So I'm going to let you just show me.
Missouri. It's Missouri. And these 10,000 puppy mills produce approximately 26 million puppies a year.
Oh, my gosh.
Either go to pet stores across the country. About 95% of pet store puppies are from puppy mills. And they're also sold online. And this really makes the task of avoiding a puppy mill purchase so simple. There's only two things you have to do. One, never purchase a puppy from a pet store. And two, never purchase a puppy online without going to the kennel, touring the kennel, and meeting the mama dog. Most puppy mill breeders won't let you come anywhere near their facility because they have too much to hide. So if you can't go visit the kennel, forget about it. No matter how great the websites, let's see, because a lot of puppy mills have websites that are complete shams. The problem is that people fall in love with a photo of a puppy online and they keep going with it. And I say, if you go onto a breeder's website and there are dozens of puppies for sale,
Yeah, let's jump in, because there are reputable dog breeders out with veterinarians and veterinary geneticists and others.
Yes.
To maintain the health of a line. And I think there's like over 200 recognized dog breeds by the American Kennel Club. So I think you're making a clear distinction, right?
Absolutely. A responsible or a reputable breeder is someone who really wants to enhance the quality of the breed. They're not going to take their show poodle and mix it up with a Bernese Mountain Dog. They're not going to do that. And they will insist that you come to their kennel because guess what? They have more questions for you than you have for them. And they may not have puppies available. They may breed only two litters a year, in which case they'll probably refer you to another responsible breeder or say, get on the waiting list for next year. So it's really so simple. Can you visit the kennel? If the answer is yes, go visit. If the answer is no, please walk away, because this is a matter of supply and demand. And if we back off in the demand department, guess what? Puppy millers are going to go out of business. That's right. That's exactly right.
So instead of being a preachy tone that you could have done in a blog or put in a book, you got this creative juice in your brain and said, I'm going to channel my inner preteen and get the message out through a character named Mia in a book called A Dog Named 647. When did that all happen? When were you sipping on a latte? What was going on?
No. I spent a couple of years getting to that point. Here's why I wrote the book. I've been disillusioned what adult generations have done in terms of stopping puppy mills. I just am not a patient person, and I don't want to spend a year or two on legislation that's going to increase cage size by 2 inches. I remember being very inspired by Greta Thunberg.
Oh, yeah. And tell the two people on the planet who she is that don't know her.
She is no longer a kid, but she was a kid when she became a very vocal, well-known climate activist. And I was so impressed by her, and I thought, well, this is it. We need to take the puppy mill lessons to kids. Because middle grade kids, they're just developing this burgeoning awareness of social issues out in the world. They're kind of looking outside of themselves and their friends and saying,
right.
Oh, they're recognizing social issues. So, you know, Arden, as you know, I'm a nonfiction writer for the most part. My previous books have been nonfiction.
Well, wait a minute. This is where you're going to love me, author to author. Everybody ready? I have it right here in my notes. Before that, she did a book, which is a great book. It's called Speaking for Spot. And is an Amazon bestseller. Lots of wins. Probably not a new car, but you got lots of things to dust. And then Your Dog's Best Health. And did I get it right?
Yeah, that's a dozen reasonable things to expect from your vet. Yes.
Okay, so get back to this. So in preteen years, they're kind of getting ready to not be a look at myself. They're kind of looking now at the world.
Exactly. So I sat down and wrote a nonfiction book about puppy mills for middle graders.
Wow, that's brilliant.
But I did about 3 or 4 iterations, spent a lot of time on it. And at the end of each iteration, I said, man, if I were a middle grader, there's no way I would read this book.
So what'd you do?
I pivoted and I decided I need to write fiction. And I wrote some fiction when I was in high school. As you might imagine, writing fiction is a big learning curve.
Yes.
And I literally spent years learning the craft of writing fiction. I took classes, I did seminars, I have been participating for years in 2 writers critique groups who write children's fiction. And I went through several revisions of my fiction, the novel, A Dog Named 647. And I would have an editor look and tell me, it really needs major revisions. And each time I just put the book aside and felt like I can't do this. And then I would recall the look on a particular dachshund's face. I went undercover into puppy mills and also attended a dog auction undercover. It took everything in my power to wipe any emotion off my face. And I remember in one puppy mill, one dachshund looked at me the way dog 647 looked at Mia. This soul to soul helped me kind of communication. And I would picture that dog and I just got a chill up my spine. I do every time. And then I would go back to work on the novel.
So let me ask you this. Wow. Dr. Nancy, how did you get to be undercover at a puppy mill first, if you're able to share? I love what you did because I learned if your mother tells you she loves you, check it out. So you got to see it firsthand.
I felt like I didn't have credibility if I didn't see it firsthand.
So how did you do it?
I happened to meet a particular person whose name will not be named.
Don't worry. We don't need to divulge.
No. And she goes into puppy mills. I'm not even going to go further than that.
No. And I respect that. But that's a gutsy, broad move on your part, Dr. Nancy, to say, I'm gonna do this.
I had to do it. I needed street cred. And I felt like without doing that, I didn't have street cred.
Okay.
And it was painful, Arden. Let me tell you. It was painful. And I would go back out to the van and cry. And then wipe my tears and go to the next puppy mill.
You know, you're a physician for pets and you probably wanted to immediately help a pet that was not doing well. But you had to think of the greater help, right?
Right. I mean, these are animals that spend their entire lives in a cage with wire mesh floors. and they have in some automatic feeders, automatic waters. So nobody ever even has
nobody
to touch
touches
the dog.
Them.
Nobody touches them.
Hey, everyone, this is a serious topic and we need to have this out there. And we're going to dive in more after we take this quick break. So sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages. We wear fur and we're damn proud of it.
What?
And our four legs.
And our tail.
And we go to the bathroom outside.
Well, we may not be too proud of that. Sniff around, then mark your spot right here. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you you're listening to the O Behave Show with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to O Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Wow. This is a powerful guest. She is Dr. Nancy Kaye, a veterinarian, an author, and a gutsy woman who said, I needed to get some street cred, and she got into infiltrated a puppy mill. And then, this is horrible, a dog auction. Talk about that.
So dog auctions, and there aren't many in the United States, but on any given day when they sell, they can go through a few hundred dogs. Basically, it's a place where puppy millers congregate to trade their wares. You know, they may have five older poodles that they don't want anymore, and they might buy four or five new breeding stock. So it's mostly breeding stock that they're auctioning on. And it's not just one dog at a time. They'll put five little chihuahuas up on a table, and there's all kinds of bids. And the person with the winning bid can buy each dog at that price, or they can choose which one they want, and then others fall in behind them. There are also rescue organizations who attend these auctions. And I don't know, Arden, if you're aware of some concerns and issues going on within the rescue community.
Well, I know there's a lot of issues, but I don't know which one you're pointing to. It's only a half hour show, Dr. Nancy, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, basically, it's hard to see rescue organizations paying top dollar for these dogs. One, because we know how hard it is for them to get that money. Two, it's perpetuating what the puppy millers are doing. I think other rescue organizations come in and the dogs that really aren't being bid on, they can buy for pennies. And those might be the dogs that they take.
But they still have to buy them.
They still have to buy them. That's correct.
So let's pivot just a minute, because I'm trying to tease people to get your book, A Dog Named 647. I need you, as one author to another, you need this because you've got a powerful message. There is a couple of very important websites that I want you, before we forget, that I want you to mention. Your personal one, and what about the Kids United? I'm not going to say the whole thing. I'll let you do it.
Sure. So my personal website, where there's a lot of information, general information that I think is helpful to readers, and that is Dr. Nancy Kaye. So no doctor, no, it's just drnancykaye.com. And the other organization I'm creating, and it's in process, is called Kids United for Animal Welfare.
.org.
Yeah, it'll be a nonprofit. And the way that what I've done there is I'm empowering kids to know the facts about the animals they eat, and puppy mills as well. So, for example, there's a whole section on interpreting food labels. And you know how confusing egg carton labels are? I spell it out so that one can know, yeah, I do need to pay $9 for this dozen eggs because...
Yeah, it's free range.
Or not even free range, pasture raised.
Pasture raised.
Free range can mean they're in a crowded barnyard and there's one little open door that very few of the chickens get out of. So not even free range does it. Pasture raised is what one should be looking for. And it talks about the five freedoms that define animal welfare. And so the beginning of the pigs page, for example, demonstrates what pigs need to be happy and healthy. And in terms of the five freedoms. And then you scroll down and you see factory farming of pigs, which is horrific.
Yeah, it is.
I think kids need to know that. And I'm not out there trying to convince anyone to become vegan or vegetarian.
Yes, I understand. So one of the real powerful, I think very creative approaches, strategies you're taking is you are writing from the voice of a 12-year-old girl named Mia.
Yes.
In the book, A Dog Named 647. So she's got a pal, Cassie. And can you kind of tee us up how this all starts? I'm not going to give away the finish or anything, but people want to know because I thought it was a 12-year-old right there. You had me at 12 years old.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Mia's kind of a grumpy girl. Her parents are divorced and she doesn't understand the divorce. She doesn't do well in school. Her single mom works all the time. There's never enough money. And the worst thing of all is Mia is dog crazy. And her mom is terrified of dogs. So she doesn't have a dog in her house. So that's sort of Mia's character.
I like that. Was that adapted from others or even a little bit of yourself growing up? I don't know.
Mia's a tomboy. That's true for me. And there's a lot of characteristics in Cassie that are true for Mia as well.
And who's Cassie? Tell
people. Cassie is her 12-year-old best friend. She's a little bit of an outcast in the sense that she dresses eccentrically. She colors her hair all different colors. And she's Jewish. And Mia spends a lot of time at her house. And by virtue of eating Sabbath dinners over there, learns a little bit about Judaism. And Cassie has two dogs whose names are my own two dogs.
Do a shout out.
Quinn and Nellie.
Quinn and Nellie are like, you better put us in this book.
Exactly. So the opening scene is Mia is walking to the river to meet Cassie to go swimming. It's a hot September day. School has just started. And Mia hears some sounds out in the meadow. And it's clear where all the tall grass is. And she can't see what's coming at her. But there's something sweeping through the meadow coming at her. And it scares the bejeebies out of her. And she finds out, oh, it's a dog. And it turns out this is 647.
And how is it? Where? Show.
It's in permanent marker on a little plastic collar that she wears. So it turns out she's a pregnant runaway from a puppy mill.
And what kind of dog is she?
A golden retriever. And she's being followed, trapped by a man with a rope. So the mission for Mia becomes that the man drags the dog away and Mia just feels helpless and hopeless to do anything about it. But she can't let it go. And so she recruits Cassie and together they do a lot of Nancy Drew-like things.
That's what I was going to say. Oh my gosh. Yes, I read Nancy Drew growing up. Did you?
Absolutely.
You know, Nancy Drew up in the heavens are like, you go, Dr. Nancy K. You got me.
And you know what? Kids are reading Nancy Drew now too.
Good. Good.
I know. It's timeless. So her goal is to figure out where this dog is. But it becomes a much bigger goal when she realizes that this dog is from a puppy mill.
What has been the feedback? Do you have any 12-year-olds that have been good critiques of your book, A Dog Named 647?
Well, I found 12 middle grade beta readers.
Oh, smart.
And they gave me feedback. They loved the book. And what I'm really jazzed about is that before reading the book, fewer than half of them knew what a puppy mill was. So I feel like this is the right market to write this book for. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You've done a lot in the world for veterinary medicine. I mean, accomplished veterinarian. But what's your take on this book? How has this changed your life?
This book in particular?
Because first of all, it's finally there.
Oh, and it's hard to believe because it's been so long in coming. And the book launch was just on September 20th. And I am loving it. The reviews are rolling in and they're all 5-star reviews, knock on wood, so far. Ohio Animal Advocates wrote a beautiful review of the book. And what I loved about it is they completely got the point of the book, that kids are going to love it.
Here is a quote from them. Why read it? For youth, the novel provides both a gripping narrative and an empowering message. You have the ability to speak up for those without a voice. There you go. How's that for an excerpt? Did I do my homework on you?
You did. And I have always been a person who wants to create change in the world. And this is my lane, animal welfare.
Wow. Wow. We have just a few minutes, Dr. Nancy Kay, and we're going to get you back on to another time. But I just want to salute you for what you're doing. And I just recently got a new adoptee. Her name is Nova. She is, oh my God, we did the DNA and they said 27% Pomeranian and 27% American Pit Bull. Who did what?
That sounds like a physical feat.
But she was taken to a no-kill shelter, Eastlake Pet Orphanage, and it was surrendered by a homeless couple where my dog, now, and three other little females were living in a car, homeless. And they were able to help the couple, and they were able to counsel the couple about the importance. They didn't force, but they voluntarily presented the animals to the place. And my dog's about 3 years old and had never been spayed.
Oh, wow.
So she has turned out to be a gem. My dog, Kona, my dog, Emma, and my two cats, Rusty and Casey, have embraced her. And so has my wife, Julie. So I love this dog. So every day.
I want to see her, and I suspect your fans do as well. Can she come up on your lap?
Well, I will show after. This is kind of awkward because I have to turn everything off, but I will run a photo and we will show a photo.
Fabulous.
I will show you after the show. But she already knows, watch me, sit, leave it, stay, come. And she is the best hugger at night on the bed.
And how are all the dogs, how are all the animals getting along with the new
Good. It's slow and steady. Everybody, she knows she gets fed last. She is a great little addition to our family. My dog Kona is a safety dog and a therapy pet. And I teach pet first aid, veterinary approved, with my orange tabby Casey. And I think we've got one in the making with Nova because Kona's getting a little older. So I just want to tell you from my heart, I call them shelter alums.
I like that.
I don't call them rescues. I love foster parents. Don't say you're a foster failure. Say you're a foster success.
Yeah.
If that pet does connect with you and your family, why do they always apologize? Can you answer that?
No, it doesn't really make any sense. And I think rescue is a tricky word.
Yeah.
And in this case, the shelter rescued her from circumstances that were way less than ideal. But how lucky is Nova to have landed in your lap? And how lucky are you?
Oh, trust me. For my 25 years in the pet world, I got a tattoo on my upper left thigh that's a heart with in between a cat and a dog looking at each other. And we purposely made them silhouettes with no eyes so that you can make that any dog, any cat. And so that was my way of, that's my path. My path is to help people with pets, safety with first aid and rescue.
Shouldn't we see your tattoo now that you brought it up?
Oh, Mark, this is going to be great. Hang on. I don't know if we can do this. It's on my upper thigh, so I won't show anything.
Okay. Oh, wow.
There you go. Heart.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. Yeah. Arden,
so there you go. Hey, all my pet pals who've been following the Old Behave show since 2007, Arden just dropped her drawers to show you her heart dog cat tattoo because Dr. Nancy Kay told me to do so.
I take full credit.
Hey, thank you so much for being on. I really want everyone to go out and get the book, A Dog Named 647. Go to drnancyk.com. And also, please check out kidsunitedforanimalwelfare.org. Big news on OBehave front. There was a million podcast group. I don't know. They just posted it on LinkedIn. And they picked the top 100 podcasts. And humbly, OBehave is number three.
Holy
and so
wow.
At this time, I also want to do a shout out to my producer, Mark Winter, executive producer of Pet Life Radio, as we've been doing this since 2007 together. And it was a huge honor to be named number three best pet podcast on the planet. Please, safety is my big mission. I do veterinary approved pet first aid on different levels. I even teach veterinarians. And I teach people to be instructors. We offer in-person, interactive Zoom, and now self-paced courses. So please check out Pet First Aid for You because it always features
Pet Safety Dog Kona and Pet Safety Cat Casey, which we add a little humor to our classes. And until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you two, three, and four-leggers out there. Obehave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Obehave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.